This time on episode 226 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll be discussing the latest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. together or not at all, we'll do a Marvel news rundown, and we'll discuss your listener feedback.
I'm Jason.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Usually Dave from the Digital Soup Podcast.
A proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for our scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, January 14th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios on Terra Firma. And broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Dress Up Your Pet Day!
Who does that?
Don't do that to your pet. Don't do that. Your pet hates you for it.
I know. Who does that? Why? They're not dolls.
Nikki Duke, I'm looking at you.
But they're so cute when you dress up like Groot or like an Ewok. They look so cute.
Groot? Groot is not a pet. Ewoks are not pets. Ewoks are vicious warriors. They brought down the Empire.
Vicious warriors. Okay. You heard it from Haley.
They eat stormtroopers.
Well, that's true. They do indeed. Don't get yourself lost in an Ewok forest on your own. Might not be good. Okay, with that public service announcement, we're going to move on. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, Legion on FX, possibly, if we ever get around to it, The Gifted on Fox, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of not tooting your own horn.
If you'd like to talk to us about not tooting your own horn, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can find all of us, except for Star Pie, on our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find all of us, including SP, on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can find all of our videos on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Ladies, we are one agent short today. Well, I guess Agent Lauren decided she's just not going to show up for work today.
She got stuck down on the surface.
You think her leg's okay?
She shouldn't be standing.
What kind of weapons would Lauren have on the surface of Earth in this future? Would her crocheting needles actually be weapons?
I don't think I like Lauren's chances in a combat situation. As much as we love her, she's more likely to injure herself than somebody else.
Well, that's true.
And she would try to make everything around her pets because that's the way she is. Like, she won't eat a porg if she is hungry. Everything's a pet.
I love that gift that somebody finally made of the porgs that are playing with the lightsaber and one actually turns it on. That's what I wanted to see in the theater.
Force using porgs.
Well, everybody's force using now, right?
I guess.
All right. We need to talk about Star Wars, The Last Jedi in an upcoming episode. In the meantime, we're going to move on into the current episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., episode 7 of the season 5, aired Friday, January 12th, 2018, to a live rating of 2.29, which is down from last week's 2.48. So, still above 2, which I think is a good thing, but I think we need to keep on increasing that weekly ratings. What do you think about that, Michelle?
Well, it is football season, right? My mom is watching a lot of the sports ball, and I think maybe that interfered with it because she's been talking about it all week.
Was there football on Friday night? I don't think there was football on Friday night because the college stuff is done, right? And the NFL stuff didn't start till Saturday.
Okay. I don't follow these things. I just smile and nod when she talks about football because I'm a good daughter that way.
I see.
Well, also, a lot of the shows haven't come back yet, so maybe people didn't realize that it was on.
Maybe, but next week there's no excuse because everything starts next week, right?
Yeah, but then the Olympics start and, you know.
Don't burst my
bubble. I mean, it is the Winter Olympics. People don't care as much, but still.
What? People don't care. It's hockey. Everybody cares about hockey in the entire world. It's the international sport.
The only hockey game I've ever seen was in Mighty Ducks.
Were they flying the V?
Yep. I did rewatch Cool Runnings last week, though, just because, you know, I've been seeing all the Winter Olympic ads and I felt like watching Cool Runnings.
A bobsled team from Jamaica.
All of them people they can't believe.
That's right. Okay, so we're going to move away from sports, get back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and their ratings of 2.29. Hopefully that will go up next week. We will, of course, keep an eye on it and let you know as soon as we can. This episode was titled Together or Not at All. Haley, I'm almost afraid to ask, what is this title about?
They were trying to decide what movie they were going to go see. And they were bickering like you always do when you're trying to make plans with a group of friends. And Coulson was like, listen, we've got to pick one movie so we can go to it together or not at all. And he said the thing, and everyone was really excited about that.
You know, this crew actually talking about movies happens on a weekly basis, so I would almost give you that, but you are completely, completely incorrect on that. Michelle, help me out here. What's the title about?
Well, you can look at it as our team finally getting together and escaping and working together or not at all. Fitz and Simmons kind of say something like that. I also thought about Cassius and Smurfette, because Cassius is really wanting to make sure they stay together. And it seems like he also has that mentality when it comes to her of together or not at all.
Oh, see, I was going to say, just talking seriously about the title now, we saw that the Kree completely turned on each other in this episode. You had Smurfette kill What's-His-Face, and Cassius killed his brother. Like, completely divided on that side. And then, at the end, you think, oh, we're going to see everybody on the S.H.I.E.L.D. team together. But then they split the team. So I think, honestly, this episode title didn't work because, you know, Mac and Yo-Yo went off separated from the team.
Yeah, nobody was together the entire time except for the science babies were reunited. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. In the meantime, let's go into the creative team behind this episode. First of all, Michelle, the director, fantastic guy, has a lot of history. What can you tell me about him?
Brad Turner has a lot of directing credits, 101 director credits since 2008, including 4 of The Twilight Zone, 17 The Outer Limits, 1 Battlestar Galactica, 8 Andromeda, 1 Smallville, 1 Alias, 8 Stargate SG-1, 6 Stargate Atlantis, 2 Prison Break, 46 of 24, 1 of The Last Ship, 1 of Daredevil, that was Stick, 1 Falling Skies, 1 Designated Survivor, 8 of The Shannara Chronicles, which is a good show, go check it out, and 2 other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes, Ghost Rider, Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire, Together Not at All.
Also, he is listed as a producer for 13 shows, including 24 Helix. Ugh. Helix and the Shannara Chronicles. So yeah, I will never be okay with Helix ever again. Matter of fact, I think they were slated to come back and they never did. So I think that's better for everybody involved. Haley, who wrote this episode?
This episode was written by Matt Owens. He has only written for the Marvel TV show so far. He was a staff writer for 13 episodes of Luke Cage and he wrote the episode. Who's going to take the weight? He wrote for The Defenders. He did 2 episodes, Worst Behavior and Mean Right Hook. And then he's worked on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He has story editor credits for 13 episodes, executive story editor for 6 episodes, and he actually wrote 3 episodes.
Yes, first one was a Ghostwriter titled episode, Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire, The Man Behind the S.H.I.E.L.D., and Together, Not at All. So actually, I think this is a great team, a team that seems to have worked well together before, so it's good to see them back together. And I think they delivered an excellent product, but it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what Michelle's mom thinks about it. So what about your mom?
In between football games, she did watch this episode. And again, she loved it. She was happy the science babies got back together. And it was, she was kind of surprised that the brother killed the other brother, because she's like, I didn't know he had it in him and all that type of stuff. So she's very happy with the way the season's going.
Good. Good to hear, because I liked it. Haley, what'd you think about the episode overall? Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. Actually, in the last week, my sister has started watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Netflix, and she's up to season 3. And she said, oh, season 3 is getting better now. So I just thought I would share that.
That's interesting to note. What did you say about the pilot? Because we were wondering what new people coming in about the pilot would think when we did our 200th episode.
I didn't get a chance to talk to her about it for very long, so I don't know.
Okay.
I'll have to ask her about it over the next week. Yeah. We'll get back to you.
Would be interesting to hear about that. So we have May on the surface of what's left of the Earth, and she's not doing so hot, but at least she's still alive, right, Michelle?
Yes, she's alive. It's interesting. Enoch finds her, and they have this discussion, and she's just like, she knows what's wrong with her leg, and he's like, you should not be standing. Like, are you a doctor? And she's like, no, I'm a fighter, with that look. And that's May. May would continue going if she lost a leg and an arm. Like, she would still be fighting, because that's May.
So you don't think she's going to heed Enoch's advice to consider a career change?
No.
Not I bet May. She does. I think she will by the end of the season. I think she's ready to retire on a beach with Coulson, as I've said many times before.
Headcanon accepted for Haley. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking she's going to get a little old. Now, I have not divulged my newest theory on the air. Of course, we know it's going to be wrong, but I'm going to tell it anyway, because it's fascinating to me to think about this. So we still don't know who built the lighthouse. So I'm thinking that the team, they don't go back to 2017 or 2018 or whatever, but they go back before that, maybe even before the series starts, so that they're in on Earth and they create the lighthouse to begin with, so that the cycle can repeat itself. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's an interesting possibility. What do you think, Michelle?
So you're saying that Coulson and May are going to time travel all the way back, and they're basically going to have their own HDTV show on how to build a lighthouse to last decades.
To last through the Earth's destruction. Yes, exactly. An HDTV show. Can't be aired, because who'd believe it, right?
Well, it's HDTV. They have us believing people can afford a house that's $600,000 price tag. They could do about anything.
You mean you're going to go watch a show about people that are trying to buy a house, and eventually they do?
Well, spoiler alert, they're not always the actual people. I know I'm going to shatter some people. No, there are people out there that don't realize, one.
Are you telling me that entry-level construction worker and his kindergarten teacher wife cannot afford a $2 million house? I don't know if I believe you.
I know. People just don't realize that most of them are actors, and that they've already picked out a house, and they're just...
Wait a minute, the actors pick out the house?
No, that there's... Okay, if it's a real couple, they've actually already bought the house, and they fake like the other two. If it's the actors, then they just go around empty houses and going, ooh, this doesn't shorten my commute, so I don't want it. There should be an Emmy category, best performance on House Hunters.
Well, it's any reality non-scripted TV show at all. I mean, heck, Axemen could be in there. We've got somebody involved in this show that has written an episode of Axemen, which just, I get a kick out of that every time I read his IMDb page. But okay, so anyway, that's my latest theory, is that they go back in time prior to when the show starts. So we're talking, I don't know, it could be even prior to the MCU. So it could be like 2005 or something like that. They do this and then they can go off and retire on the beach. Haley, what do you think about that? Would that fit in your head canon?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I buy that. Especially since it's a theory you came up with. Like, that just doesn't seem plausible.
It would definitely end the show, because I don't think you could actually take it any further until you did a time jump. Maybe that's how they end up in the Infinity War. Wow, I'm just overthinking this at the moment. Okay, we're going to move on before we get down into Unbelievableville, like we're not there already. And we're going to talk about the science babies because they get to spend their first day of engagement together.
By digging things out of each other.
By getting inside each other.
Ooh. And digging those things out.
Guys, I don't know. This is a kid's show. I don't know if we can go any further there. What do you mean by digging stuff out of each other? What happened? Enlighten me.
Well, Simmons' weird head thing goes off. So Fitz got to get a thing to pull that out. And then Fitz goes and gets himself shot. And Simmons has to deal with like the bullet and stuff.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't going to go there originally, but I'm going to bring this up. We haven't talked about this before the show, but basically what happened during the episode, I was watching it live Friday. Believe it or not, I was watching it live. So thank you, everybody that live tweeted, including Michelle. You're welcome to live tweet from our account anytime. So I was watching the episode live, and of course, there's foul weather all over the eastern half of the United States. And what happens to me, happened to a lot of people, is the frickin' weather person comes on during the exact scene. I see Simmons on the table and I see Fitz getting the instruments and then nothing. I have a weatherman up until the time where Fitz's ship blows up. And do I get to see that? No. What do I see instead? Them. It comes back from the weatherman to show them looking out the portal. And I'm like, what happened? Oh, my gosh. And I'm like looking at the live tweets going, oh, my. They pulled the thing from her head and the ship blew up and I got to see none of it. Dang you, weatherman.
I do not miss that about living in places with weather.
So here's what happened. I was like, am I going to have to buy this episode? And no, thankfully, because my cable provider, which I still have, God only knows why I still have a cable provider, but my cable provider gave us the episode on demand immediately, like the next day. So I didn't have to wait a week or I didn't have to buy the episode. So I guess some good came out of me still having cable. And I was able to go back later and see that. So I did see the explosion. I did see Fitz taking the ear thing out of Simmons. And yeah, glad that is out. At the episode, I'm like, did it come out or not? I don't know. And I didn't see Daisy without her powers taking on and killing a Kree. That was awesome.
Yeah, she's a total badass. Like, she didn't need no stinking powers.
Well, to be honest, they would be useful here.
Yeah, they would be. But she went toe-to-toe with a Kree. And we know that they are naturally stronger than humans.
And they're warriors, too.
Yeah.
May would be so proud.
I mean, these are Cassius's guys, not his brother's guys, so they're not quite top-tier Krees, but they're still Kree.
Yep. And she had to strangle him with, I don't know what it was, like some sort of strap or shoelace or something.
It was part of her sleeve. Like, you know, she's got like loose strings and stuff all over the place. So that's what it was.
So beware of girls with loose strings off their sleeves.
Yep.
Okay. Good safety tip. Mm. Well, you brought it up. You brought Cassius and his brother, Falnok, I believe is his name. If I misspelled it or mispronounced it.
Yeah, I'm not ever going to remember his name. Doesn't matter.
Who cares at this point? Yeah. Falnok, by the way, reminded me of the Gamelons way back from Star Blazers. So there's a reference to 1970s cartoon sci-fi TV. But anyway, Cassius and Falnok basically explain what had happened between the two.
What had happened was Cassius bravely ran away to live to fight another day, and that was not appreciated.
Yeah, because apparently the Kree are like the Klingon, you know, today is a good day to die, and warrior's glory and all that type of stuff. And
it's a good day to die.
But it seems as though Cassius was sent on a suicide mission, like there was no way that he could have won, and Sonara was there to help him get away by killing the generals and all that type of stuff. So
Star had an interesting decision to make here because she did kill Masandar, who was Falknar's top bad guy, which, by the way, I believe it was you, Michelle, that was tweeting about what you thought the Masandar was, like a bike gang member or something like that. Was that you or was that Lauren?
No, that was not me.
Okay.
I tweeted about, because Daisy called her like Mrs. Boba Fett, and I went, no, she's not Mrs. Boba Fett. She's like Ventress.
Mr. and Mrs. Boba Fett is what she called them.
Yeah.
Well, in any event, you had the Sonara making this decision after she killed Mass Andar with her floating balls. So Smurfette and her balls got another round this episode. She killed Mass Andar because she knows that Mass Andar is eventually going to kill her. So let's take out the biggest threat. But now we have to deal with the brother. And she could have made the decision to side with the brother, but she didn't. She just let Cassius finally take it all the way through.
Well, she knew her best chance was with Cassius in power. You know, she's put in her time building up her loyalty points with him, and she doesn't have that connection with Balnok.
True, but she was also like, did you notice her eyes? Like, when I watched it again, she's like looking and then looking over and then looking and looking over, like, Cassius, get the gun, do the thing, do it.
See, I watched it twice again, like I said, and I didn't get that vibe from it, but that's what I was expecting. The vibe that I got was, which one am I going to choose? And she didn't really make a decision. She just let Cassius make the decision for her. But yeah, I could definitely see what you're saying have happened, where she's trying to direct Cassius to do it. So in either case, I mean, it ended up that Falkner is dead. And Sonara and Cassius are squarely in power, but they got to spin this because they got to tell dad. And oh, by the way, who's the dad? Because we're going to see the dad at some point in time. I'm assuming the dad's still alive. So he's going to come and figure out what the heck happened.
I hope he's played by John Goodman.
I just don't see John Goodman as a Kree warrior, but okay.
No. Like an old Kree warrior who is now more part of the higher government. So he's not quite in his fighting shape anymore, but he's still gruff.
I guess. I got to go to the Next Generation and some older Klingons to get myself in that mindset. But yeah, the Kree to me are like in shape. They're going to fight, but we haven't seen any old Kree.
I don't think they're going to get Michael Dorn. Sorry.
I would love it to be Michael Dorn, though.
That would be awesome.
That would be hilarious. Kevin Sorbo.
That would work too. I mean, we know he's not doing anything.
He would definitely do it.
You know, he got killed on Supergirl, so.
I know.
He's available. good stuff is about to happen. But Sonara definitely. Did you guys, when Mass Andar was shooting the way in, did you guys know that she was going to kill him at that point in time?
Yes. As soon as she like stationed herself directly behind him, I was like, oh, she's killing that guy.
Yeah, when she said, you're so slow.
Well, it definitely happened and moved on. So, in the meantime, Flint, who's the new Inhuman that could control rocks, demonstrates his power and kills the Kree that are killing Tess and everybody else around them. And I think this kid's going to be good. I'm a little worried about him, about being grounded to reality, but it's the future, so his reality is not my reality. In any case, Flint is on his way up. What do you guys think?
Good for him. He's been around all this in action. You know, no one's really like rise up. No one's getting a little Hamilton going on again. And I think that's what Mac and Yo-Yo see in him. Someone who wants to rebel, someone who wants to stand up and help others stand up. And I think that's probably why they stay. So we get like Daddy Mac and Mama Yo-Yo with their own little cub to take care of.
Yeah, and of the three of them, Mac's the only one without powers, but he's still cool.
Yeah, but he's going to have a shotgun axe soon, so he doesn't need powers.
As long as they can get it out of level 3, so we're going to jump ahead a little bit here.
That is Chekhov's shotgun axe. You do not put a shotgun axe in a hidey hole to not pull the shotgun axe out of that hidey hole.
I know, it was great, though. They're at, like, Fitz at the end is telling him, oh, by the way, I stashed all your weapons and everything, and it's in a wall. You guys be fine. They're like, well, where is it? And they're like, and Fitz
level
is
three.
Like, level 3. Like, what are you thinking? And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa,
waking up like 70 years in the future after being in this tomb, that the place where I put the things is overrun with blood-sucking insect things. I just could not see that.
So they apologized, said, hey, thank you very much, and they moved on from that. But in the meantime, this is in their quest to get to the surface, because it's the only play that they have right now, is to get out of the lighthouse onto the surface, hopefully help May, but get away from the Kree, really. And they also know that there's somebody on the surface through the communication device, which just happens to be a digital voice recorder, the Tascam DR-05. Kind of a communication device, but it's not a radio, people. No radio.
Maybe that's the trick all along, is they're not communicating, somebody's just hitting the play button. So they're hearing these messages that were recorded.
Could be. Like somebody's play before the Earth was destroyed. They're doing a like War of the Worlds or something like that. Once again, voice recorders make tremendous props on set because they do look cool. I mean, Haley, you've got your Zoom H5. Michelle, you have a Zoom H5 in front of you right now. Those things are pretty cool looking, aren't they?
Yep. Looks like you could tase somebody with it.
It does.
Yes.
Multi-use. Records your voice, communicates with other people, and happens to tase your enemies if you need to. Great.
Some minor modifications required.
Zoom, get on that. Or Tascam, or whoever. Roland, whatever. Okay, so they go to the surface and they find, or Enoch has been sent last episode to go look after May. Good thing that he did, because I think May would have gotten into trouble if he wasn't there. Very capable of stabbing the crap out of those Vrells and making his way to May. And we see he has another unique capability on his skin, doesn't he, Michelle?
Yeah, he can press a button and change his skin color.
That's racist.
It is? I don't think it is, because you could go to parties, however, dress however you wanted. I think it would be great. Be dressed in purple, you could be dressed green. Ooh, you could be a Klingon, you could be, what are those green aliens in Star Trek?
Well, we don't know if he can reshape his forehead.
No, but you could put a little prosthetic, but you'd have to change your skin color to look like a Klingon, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't think the skin color is the most defining features of the Klingons.
No, I mean, if he wanted to cosplay as Vision, though, he could do that.
He could do that. He could do, like, the 60s Klingons. He would just have to, you know, pump up the brow action.
Grows eyebrows out a little bit. Yeah, sure.
Oh, anyway, there is a gravity storm and people come and they're safe in the bus. And Robin's there. So she survived. Yay.
Called it. I called it so hard.
That was good to see. That was amazing to see, actually. Not only do we get Robin back, who I didn't check the actor involved. It was maybe Polly with aging, or if it's an entirely different actor.
I doubt it. I think it's a completely different actor.
Well, it was amazing seeing her, and it was amazing seeing her in the bus. Yes, we know it's Zephyr 1, but we call it the bus. In the bus. It was great, although I was trying to see where they were in the bus, couldn't quite see exactly. I assume it was like the big bay in the middle. I don't know.
But that's something that it survives 70 years. Very well made.
Yeah, which is amazing considering who had been flying it recently. And we also understand why they have survived, or why Robin has survived, because the last we saw, Robin and Polly and Lance were in the lighthouse. So we're wondering if they had stayed in the lighthouse or if they'd gone somewhere. I could see them staying in the bus in Zephyr 1 and surviving apart from the lighthouse, at least when the Kree actually showed up. Like, oh, this is not going to be good, so we're going to go away. Especially if Robin was able to forecast what was happening, which obviously she was, which is why everybody was sent to the future. So, and now that she can see in the future, if you saw the next time on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sort of thing, you can tell that she has some sort of a way to predict how to use whatever the monolith is. So there you go. Gravity, we didn't touch upon that. Gravity, very important. We find out what is causing the gravity in the lighthouse, because we were wondering about that the last few episodes, and it is something from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. past, isn't it, Michelle?
Yes, it's the gravitonium, and that's all the way from season one, the last that we knew, you know, that Quinn guy, I think, is that his name?
Yep.
And then there was the other guy who got taken into it, so now the question is it just plain old gravitonium, or is it gravitonium with the guy in it that has survived this long?
I think it's just the gravitonium.
I think the dude's still in there because that's just the type of person I am.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Michelle here. That's what I was thinking. And I was wondering if these gravitational waves were actually being caused by him in order to save people on the surface or not. I don't know what his awareness is other than his immediate canisters around him, but I don't know. We'll see what happens there. And it was kind of cool that they were being shot at to grab hold of and anchored down to the surface. So pretty cool. I like that whole thing. Okay, guys, how would you rate this episode? Because I think this entire season's been great. I mean, every one of these seven episodes has been amazing. There hasn't really been a dull one among them, in my opinion. But how would you rate this? Haley, why don't you go first?
The problem I'm having with this season is it feels like one big story. So, like, each episode's story, it's hard for me to figure out how to rate it because I need to see it again later once we know everything and know all the parts of it. So that's why I'm struggling with this. But I'm going to go with 8 out of 10 rocks in a Creai.
Okay, another 8. That's high marks for the episode. Michelle, are you as high?
Yeah, I would say a 7 rocks in a Creai. I was enjoying it. I, too, am like with Haley, because right now it's like they're getting such a strong start. And I'm like, stick the landing. Please stick the landing. Please. It's like they're a gymnast suspended in the air right now. And we don't know how it's going to go. The only thing that knocks it down for me is Deke didn't need to show up. It was almost like an afterthought. Like, oh, yeah, we locked this guy in a room and they're used to, oh, let's put a window in there conveniently so he can escape and come back. But I love the fact that everybody was like, oh, let's kill him. He's a snake. And it was just like, oh, I could have, like, if you cut him out, these still would have escaped. So.
Well, no, they needed his anti-grav thing. But we saw that Fitz and Simmons went up together. Why didn't they keep going up two at a time? That was dumb. They're dumb. They deserve to get caught.
They do. Remember, Deke's dad allegedly is on the surface or part of the Zephyr 1 crew or whatever. So they would have to reunite at some point in time. We projected that earlier in the season as well. So that's why he had to show up at this point in time, was to get him from point A to point B. But we've seen that everybody else from the future has ended up dead. So I think Deke's ended going to being dead here soon.
No. Deke's going to be the leader of some sort of resistance on the planet.
Could Deke be Lance's son?
Ooh,
or is that too...
Oh, like Lance? Ooh.
Not his son, maybe his grandson, but I don't think they're going to go that direction.
I like the way you think, though. That would be an awesome callback. And remember, Deke's version of the framework is still in play, so I think that's going to come back as well. This show does not just give you stuff and then forget about it. We eventually come back to it. Could be 5 seasons from now. I don't think we're going to get 5 seasons from now, so it's probably going to be before we leave this season that we're going to go back to that framework again, which, oh, heck no. But it's still there, remember? Still there. I will give the episode an 8, and I was going to go lower, but I'm going to give it an 8 because I loved the backstory of Cassius. I loved the interaction between him and his brother. I love finding, learning that out, and I love seeing Robin at the end. And of course, May just being on the surface and surviving. It's, to me, it's an 8, and that's tough for me to say, actually, because like I originally wanted to go to 7, but it was just too good. And this whole season's going to be great on a rewatch. I can't wait until I get to that point. It's going to be fun to watch it all. And yes, stick the landing. Because if the landing doesn't stick for me, it's going to be another How I Met Your Mother. It's going to be another Chuck where I never want to go back and watch it again. So they got to stick the landing. You're right. Otherwise, I'm not going to want to. All right. Looking forward to next week. The episode is called The Last Day. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5, Episode 8, and looking forward to that.
Prediction, it's going to be a flashback to the day the Earth blowed up.
It'd be nice to learn what happened, and of course, we do have humans like Robin has been through it, so as long as she's able to verbalize what happened, it'd be nice to learn that. Yeah, that it is not Daisy's fault.
It's not Daisy's fault.
Well, Robin's the only one that can prove that right now, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, so we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, if you're looking for other geeky content, we've got a bunch for you on the Gonna Geek Network, including something new, right, Haley?
Yeah, it's our pleasure to welcome the latest member of the GunnaGeek.com podcast network, The Intellectual Podcast. The Intellectual Podcast was conceived and hosted by David S. Dawson. It's an arts and entertainment show dedicated to providing fans of the creative arts an inroad into the lives and inspirations of the talented creative individuals who create the projects we all enjoy. With co-hosts Whitney Wegman, Steve Schwartz, and Mark Atkinson on board, conversations with guests are casual, lively, and often revealing. So you can find that on the GunnaGeek.com website.
Would encourage you to go back and look at their back catalog. There are some phenomenal interviews there. So we are excited to have The Intellectual Podcast join the GunnaGeek.com network. And everybody is back to producing content now. So don't forget to check that all out at the GunnaGeek.com. Meantime, we're going to move on and get some news in.
So first up, we have an unfortunate story. Stan Lee has been accused of sexual misconduct by home care nurses.
According to the article, a string of young female nurses have claimed that Lee repeatedly groped and harassed them and demanded to be pleasured. The nursing company that employed the women is now reportedly involved in an unspecified legal dispute with Lee. However, no lawsuit has been filed and no criminal complaint has been made. An attorney representing Lee denied the false and despicable allegations in a statement and suggested that his client has been a target of extortion. So it's one of those things, there's an accusation and then a denial, and that's about it. But this sucks.
Yeah, this sucks. This is unfortunate because I think we lose either way here. And this is the problem with this sort of thing, because if it's not true, it's like, holy crap, I can't believe they did this to this old guy. But if it is true, I mean, Lee, come on. I mean, you got to respect other people.
The fact that there are multiple accusations, and it seems like the multiple accusations came out independently before they came out publicly, I mean, that lends it credence, I believe. And this is something you hear about a lot, about old guys in nursing homes and stuff, is them harassing the nursing staff.
Yeah, so hopefully we can move forward with this. And I don't know. I mean, if you're Marvel and Stan Lee is actually accused of this, you got to move on without him at this point.
Yep. Can you? Marvel's the house Stan Lee built. Yes, with others, but...
I know, but look at everything that's happened in the past year, and you can't allow this sort of thing to happen. You can't condone it.
No, and I think this is the kind of thing that gets his cameos pulled out of future films.
Yeah.
Yeah, and TV shows and everything, yeah.
Like, they probably legally can't take his name off of the stuff because they can't undo the fact that he's the creator for all these characters, but, you know, they can easily pull his cameos.
Did hear that they were working on some, I don't even know what it is that retains the rights for the person surrounding a work. I did hear that something was in play to try to remove whatever standard that is, but at the same time, I mean, the IP is the IP. This brings up a whole bunch of issues, and we're going to have to talk about this next week with Lauren, because this is just too big. It'll probably be some more news come out about it in the next week, so we'll follow this and see where it takes us, unfortunately. Hate to report something like this.
Yep. Next up, we've got some happier, lighter stuff. We've got a couple videos on YouTube that shows the makeup process for the Kree. We've got one of Dominic Raines transforming into Cassius and Florence Favre?
Favre, yeah.
Transforming into Sonara. And it's a 3.5-4 hour process. And these are some time-lapsed videos of that process.
Yeah, and considering how long it takes, you know, at the end of this episode, Cassius takes the blood and he like wipes his hand. I'm sure the director was like, you've got one take. One.
Yeah, the blue blood on Sonara's face, yeah, or hands. Was it her face or her hands? I think it was both, right?
He wipes his face with the blood, and then it's on his hands, he takes her hands. Yeah, I'm sure it was just like one take.
Yeah, I got into this with the Defiance show, and we talked a lot about the makeup involved, and actors have all sorts of reaction to the makeup, especially if you have contacts in. And it is a very laborious process. Makes for a very long day because you have sometimes an actor asleep in the makeup chair as the team is creating the character around them. And it just, you only have so much time before you have to go home. Matter of fact, we had, what was her name? The leading lady from Defiance. She would go home and she would find white stuff all over her furniture. She had to get all
Jamie
new furniture.
Murray?
Yeah, Jamie Murray. She had to get all
Shannon
new furniture.
Shannon is going to unfriend you for forgetting that.
She's not going to listen to this anyway. If she does.
Oh, that's true.
Shannon, this is great to have you listen in.
I don't know. I feel like she's probably got some sort of Google alert set up. Anytime Jamie Murray's name is mentioned, she'll get that. So she'll hear this part of the conversation.
I see. Anyway, Jamie Murray had to get all new furniture because she had white everywhere. And yeah, it happens.
So next up, some business Marvel news. Black Panther set a pre-sale record for Marvel's movies in the first 24 hours. I'm not seeing a number of how many they actually sold, but apparently it's a record.
Yeah, it's pre-sales after the first 24 hours is outselling Captain America Civil War, which was the previous top seller. And this movie is not out for another month. This movie is on fire. I can't wait to see it.
I'm so looking forward to it. So, some more movie news. We've been talking for years now about a Black Widow solo movie. And apparently that idea is gaining some momentum with Jack Schaefer as the writer.
Yeah, sources say that it's in very early development. The film has no green light, but naming a writer is the closest the studio has ever come to moving forward. We've been waiting for this for a decade, I believe. And I can't believe it.
Since the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, Marvel should have been the first one with a solo female action movie based on the comic book property. This should have happened way before Wonder Woman. And this is the area where Marvel needs to play catch up because Wonder Woman was awesome. And it did phenomenal. And now Marvel's like, oh, what could we do? It's like, hey, how about finally do a movie about this character you've had for 10 years?
Not quite 10 years. She came in the second Iron Man movie, which was 2011, I think, 2010.
All right. Well, it feels like a decade.
Feels longer.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think all this stuff was in concept development before the 2008 movie, and I realize Iron Man was just like a one-off, and we'll see if this works or anything. But you have to sit down and like, where can we go from here? Because this is just this huge intellectual property. So you could conceivably say a decade, but on screen, yeah, it was 2010. Still, they should have done something before now, and I can't wait for it. And I think a Captain Marvel movie is going to be first, right?
Yeah, that's coming out next year, but it was supposed to come out this summer when Spider-Man Homecoming came out, which would have still beaten Wonder Woman by, what, a month?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how awesome this summer would have been if we'd had Captain Marvel and then Wonder Woman? Ugh.
I would have been so broke because I would have gone like Captain Marvel, and then Wonder Woman, and then like alternated or something.
And then like, you know, there would have been some awesome like double feature matinees somewhere.
No, I actually bought two copies of Wonder Woman. I bought a just plain Blu-ray copy, and then I bought the Blu-ray plus the digital copy, because I always like to get the digital copy.
They sell the Blu-ray without the digital copy?
Yeah, apparently.
I did not know that.
So it was partially a mistake on my part, but I didn't mind paying for the extra copy, because I was like, eh, it was good enough. I should pay for two of them. Besides, I can give one away to my daughter, and she can have it. So there you go.
Yep. Good decision. All right. Next up in the news, more women taking on the lead role in a movie. Fox has been talking about a Kitty Pryde movie.
Yeah, apparently a Kitty Pryde movie is in development at Fox from Deadpool's Tim Miller. It's very much in development, but considering the Fox and the Disney thing that's happening, and then they also have New Mutants and the Deadpool sequel and other things, we have no idea when this would happen. Earliest would be 2019.
I love the idea of a Kitty Pryde movie. I have enjoyed the Kitty Pryde character quite a bit, and we've talked about her previously on this podcast quite a bit as well. I could see her being the first movie coming out of Marvel versus Fox. I could see them building a universe around her. I could definitely see that. Now, is that going to happen? I have no idea. So we'll see what happens here.
Man, I want that Storm movie.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I know, but that's my wish.
My suspicion on Storm is she's going to be recast in the Disney universe now, so we'll see.
No, I think they'll just keep using the younger actor they've got. I assume the younger actors they have are the ones that they'll be using going forward, and we won't see the older ones again.
Well, definitely that's true, but I'm thinking in terms of Disney's casting versus Fox's casting. I think they might start recasting some roles, so I don't know. We'll see if they keep the younger mutants or not. I don't know.
Well, there's another one still to come out next year, I think, or is it this summer? I don't know. But
at this point, I have no idea. Yeah.
But I think they recasted too recently, and also, like, these movies are going to keep coming out for the next year or so. I don't see them recasting again anytime soon. I see them maybe trying to fold whatever they end up with from the recent spate of movies into their canon.
Well, it's Kevin Feige's call at this point, right? We reported on that about a month ago, that Kevin Feige gets the final call and everything. So we'll see what Kevin has in store.
Maybe he'll allow Jubilee's name to actually be said in a movie.
That's crazy talk. But like I've said before, the movies they are making now, right now they're all before when things are in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so they haven't done anything that contradicts each other up to this point, as far as we can tell.
Yeah, other than the reboot that they've already done. Yeah.
Yeah, but that happened in a different timeline, so that's fine.
Right.
You say all that happened, they rebooted the timeline, and then all the new ones with the younger people happened, and the MCU takes place in the rebooted timeline. It's all fine.
Right. I could see them rebooting again to coalesce with the comics, where the comics are and the rest of the MCU is. And I know the comics and the MCU are different universes, but I could see them wanting to weave that in because, you know, make more money is more money. I don't know. It's all conjecture at this point. I mean, like I said, it's Kevin Feige's decision and whatever he decides goes. So it doesn't matter what I say, contrary to what we think. All right, well, that is the news for today. We're going to move on into some feedback.
We've had a lot of interaction on Twitter, and again, so many, we appreciate them all, but wanted to pull out some highlights. So, for example, Elizabeth Henstridge tweeted, oh wait, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on now, East Coast, get it. And there's a picture with it, with Samuel Rootkin, who plays the brother, and he's eating and such. And then Clark Gregg says, up to my neck in alien monster things, but will live tweet Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with my other hand. And then nice. Lauren said, just make your robot hand do it. And the actor who plays the brother actually liked that tweet. So thank you very much, Samuel, for following Twitter as the episode went and liking our tweet.
And also, thank you very much for playing such a convincing Gamelon. I mean, Cree.
At Mr. Pericletes tweeted, do not let Fitz be on missions with escape craft.
Yeah, because they all crash like the helicopter. Poor Rusty.
Yes.
R.I.P. Rusty.
Oh, we never knew ye. And Adadonna Girl tweeted, fun thing to do right after getting engaged. Dig something out of your fiance's ear.
It happens. You get married and get engaged, and all of a sudden you're digging all sorts of stuff out. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, when you don't have a ring, pulling out alien implant from somebody's brain, that's a very kind gesture.
It is. I mean, if I had something in my ear, I would want somebody around me to take it off.
Yeah, so thank you, everybody, for tweeting and following along. We appreciate all the interaction and all the feedback you give us.
Indeed, and at some point in time, we might have a pair of dual tweeters tweeting from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. account. Michelle, I know you said you were sorry because you were mistakenly logged into the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Twitter. It's fine. Go ahead. Log in there. It's fine for me. I mean, Lauren might get a little bit upset. I doubt she will. She'd be like, oh, what? Because this happened to me.
You'll start tagging your tweets. Like, one of you will put the M, the other will put the L.
Yeah, it was so weird because I was from my account, but then I still had the notifications on and I thought I had swiped, but I guess I had clicked and then I didn't realize it was in the other. And then I'm just like, okay. So I turned off notifications from this so I can just get everything and so many Twitter accounts because I live tweet the CW shows from the Starly Tribune account. So I have that one too, and so many accounts.
As far as I'm concerned, you can go ahead and live tweet from it and just tag it. That's fine. Like I said, just work it out with Lauren. I don't want to get her mad, but I don't think she'd be mad. Because this happened to me once before myself, is I was tweeting from the account and she was like, oh, somebody else is tweeting. I'm like, yeah, that's me. She's like, oh, okay. Well, sounds good. So just whatever you guys want to do, you can do. All right. With that, we are going to anti-grav this one out. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this show, to watching it on YouTube, to especially to everybody on Spotify. Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It is our single biggest place to listen to the podcast. So if you're new and you're listening on Spotify, welcome on board. We appreciate you listening to our show.
Yeah, thank you to everybody that's listening. I think it's about time for you guys to join us in mad theorizing. So if you could send us some tweets or voicemails or something with your crazy off-the-wall theories to go along with ours, we would really appreciate that.
Yes, because we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners and interacting. We love the live tweets, the YouTube comments, all of that. And I'd also like to thank my cat for sleeping through this and not interrupting me while I was on the show.
I can't say that about my cat.
Which one?
The one that jumped up on the computer in the middle of the podcast.
Well, see, your cat just wanted to be dressed. It's National Dress Up Your Pet Day, and you didn't dress up your pet, so she got a little mad.
I don't think she would appreciate that.
Probably not. Most cats would. In the meantime, until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See you guys next week, and hopefully Lauren will be back. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
So, Haley, do you have the cold opening?
Sure.
Okay, and then Michelle, do you have a because of?
Yep.
All right. Haley Michelle, like that.
That is my actual name, Haley Michelle.
Really? Nice.
No way.
I did not know that. Your middle name is Michelle.
Yes.
Two L's or one L?
Two L's.
There is a hell in her name. Should have known that all along. How did I not know that?
I don't know. When we had to do those stupid, like, acrostic poem things in elementary school, I had so many L's and E's.
Oh my God, same here. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm 4 E's. 1, 2, I'm 3 L's.
I'm 4.
Just in my first and last name.
Well, when we had to do the middle name, I was 4 E's and 5 L's.
Oh, then I'm 4 L's because my middle name's Lynn.
Jeez, you guys.
Which means I have 2 Y's.
That must be, a Y must be hard.
Yeah. Especially when you got 2 of them.
So what do we want to talk about?
May on the surface.
Okay.
Science babies digging things out of each other.
Phrasing.
I don't.
You know, the Kree, the brother at least, reminded me of those stupid, I forget what they were in Star Blazers. Star Blazers villain. What were their names? Gamelon. They look like Gamelons.
And I guess the team escaping to the surface?
To the surface! You want to say Flint standing up for himself? Flint joins the fight. Anything else, Haley?
Is that communication device they're using, like, just an XY recorder?
Yeah, that's a DR05 Tascam.
I thought it was the Tascam.
Here is the communication device. No, it isn't. No. Well, definitely that's true, but I'm thinking in terms of Disney's casting versus Fox's casting. I think they might start recasting some roles, so I don't know. We'll see if they keep the younger mutants or not. I don't know.
Well, there's another one still to come out next year, I think. Or is it this summer? I don't know. But
at this point, I have no idea. Yeah. Bless you.
Thank you.
Copyright 2018. Broadcast has been successfully terminated by Enoch.
Didn't even see him come in.
He stabbed my machines.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.